Menards is your electrical headquarters. We carry all the tools and testers you need for any electrical job. Stack up your toolbox with Southwire electrical products today. Right now, save big money on Southwire electrical tools, testers, cable ties, wire, and cable. Shop our huge selection in store at Menards. Ranked number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Save big money at
Menards. And who's gonna stop me? I'm unstoppable.
Yeah. I haven't seen Daniel Caesar in person in over 3 years, so after getting a chance to preview his third album, Never Enough, he invited us to his apartment in New York City to check out his home studio and catch up.
You made a beautiful album. I love Never Enough.
What would you, if you had to pick a favorite?
Just one?
Just one.
All right, that's really difficult for me. I'm always a person who's terrible at picking just one thing because it depends on my emotions. I'm like you, I am all over the place.
Yeah.
But from my recent listens, I love Cool. I love Always. It's beautiful. The singles are also good. Let Me Go. No, it's not fair to ask me necessarily to pick one.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you would even ask me that question.
I know. I always have a similar answer whenever somebody asks me. My favorite or
favorite anything. It's hard.
But I love that you said Cool because no one ever says Cool.
How?
I asked the same question.
I feel like I'm having an out-of-body experience when I listen to that song. It's like unbelievable.
That was one of those songs. It happened a few times on this album. Actually, more than a few times, which is why I know that this album is right. Is because the way that song came about in the studio was very, like, I was given a song, you know? I didn't have to fight to write it. It was kind of like, oh yeah, obviously, like, it's
just that's, coming.
It's just, yeah, it just flows out of you. That happened with, like, Best Part, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It would get you. Sometimes it's just like 30 minutes, an hour, like, you got the whole song.
What was it about that made that one so easy to write?
I was in there with Sasha. We did that one in Paris. And we had been just running around during Fashion Week, you know what I mean? And just Fashion Week has this way of, like, it's kind of like LA. It's this way of, like, being around people but making you feel lonely.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Just because it's just so much superficial shit going on. And no, I'm going again. I'm going to go again next Fashion Week.
Trust me. I feel you. It's, like, fun, but also this is one of the reasons I rarely leave the house. It's like I go to work, try to hike or something, but like being at all of those events, it's like, it's a difficult experience for me to process sometimes.
It can be very stressful. So I was there, and then my guy Sasha Rudy came through, and we just pumped out a bunch of stuff, but he just sat down at the piano and just like had these chords. And I heard it and I was just like, keep going. And he played it for like 10 minutes, and I was like, oh, I have something. I had something to start with. It took, maybe we finished the song in probably about like 4 hours.
Wow.
But it was very much like, and sometimes I was just like, that was one of those moments where I was like, oh yeah, good job, man. You're really good at this, you know?
It's good to pat yourself on the back sometimes.
You have to.
Did you do a lot of demos for this album here where you could just experiment and play around and see what sounded good to you before you went to really record?
I had most of the songs for the album already made by the time I got in here. And I've just been tinkering and like adding people's parts and like doing stuff like that for the past year. But which one was it? Vince Van Gogh I did in here. Buyer's Remorse as well.
Hmm.
The more weird experimental joints are the ones that I did in here. So they hold a special place in my heart.
I would be terrible at picking singles for albums because the songs that I love the most are never necessarily the ones that are singles. Like, you know, I love Cool. You love Vince Van Gogh. So tell me about the decision then to put out Let Me Go and Do You Like Me as the singles. Because we have those in heavy rotation on R&B now.
I would be lying if I didn't say I fought against it for a while. But it was like, they are magnificent songs. And they're all songs that I made and I love them all very much. I have people around me that I trust very much to pick up where I get a little, because I can get very deep in my head and trapped in my mind. It's a disease. And so I was like, Vince Van Gogh, Vince Van Gogh. And they're like, yo, it doesn't even have like a chorus. You know what I mean? Like,
what's the problem, Daniel?
We're trying to sell your album here, you know? So I was being very difficult, and I loved him very much for dealing with me and putting up with me. But we settled on Do You Like Me is very, that's one of my favorite sessions from the project. You know, I got to work with Rafael Sadiq, and that's also where I met Dylan Wiggins, who he came to the session and he ended up executive producing the album with me and Crave. And then with Let Me Go, that one was just, that was one of those songs that's just, I wanted to take my career further. And so it was kind of like, before I used to only go to studio when I felt inspired, you know what I mean? When I like, oh, I have something out to get out. And then it was kind of like, you know, Kobe Bryant didn't want to, Michael Jordan didn't want to go to the gym every day, but he did, you know? And I was like, oh, I need to, and even to this day, I still struggle with it, but I know what I want to be and what comes with that. So that was one of those sessions and it turned out very, very good.
How do you feel about your progression as an artist over the past few albums? I know with it's always hard when you have such an amazing breakout album, getting to the sophomore project, because your fans, a lot of times they want you to somehow replicate what you did the first time. And it seems like you had no intentions at all of doing that. And so I'm curious just how you feel looking back at those now compared to Never Enough.
I think, well, you know what? I think I found the sweet spot with this album. Mm-hmm. I'm not good at like faking things. So if I'm making something and I'm not impressed by it, even if it's like really good, or people, like everyone listens to it and they're like, I love, like, this is the one, this is the one. If I'm not impressed by it, then it's like, it's painful to me.
I've been a fan of yours for such a long time, and I've always realized that you're a pretty cerebral person. The things we hear you talk about in your music, the way you navigate your relationships and life, but as I'm realizing that there's a lot I still feel like, as a fan, I don't know about you, about Daniel pre-fame. And on the new project, Never Enough, there's one song, Toronto 2014.
Yeah.
I hear you on that record. Talk about a time when you felt happier being you. And I'm wondering if you could take us back to that space. Because 2014 is when you were releasing your very first EP, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. It was a time of freedom. It was just my first time living on my own, and I could do anything I wanted to do at any time. It was so fun. I could go to bed when I wanted. I could just... I could just pick up and leave the house whenever I wanted. I was also dead broke in 2014, you know? In those times, I was miserable for so many reasons. But, like, it's only in retrospect that I'm like, oh, that's, like, perhaps the happiest I've ever been. Mm-hmm. It's no one gets to live outside of being an adult, you know what I mean? It's either I'm homeless or I have to abide by some sort of system. I can be very anti-establishment.
I mean, how is that translated into your career, being anti-establishment? This is very much an establishment.
There's always moments where I feel like I'm the victim of this thing, you know? But at the end of the day, like, it's completely within my control and I can just stop at any point, you know? So if I don't, there's no one I can be upset with but myself, no one or nothing. But the world is a collection of systems all working and relying on each other. So you can't really escape, which gets tricky. Have you ever played chess before?
It seems like a game I would enjoy because it's also a game of strategy. Or is that me reaching? What do you enjoy about it?
It's absolute. It's like math.
Okay, like math and science. I understand. And why'd you want to incorporate this into the album?
There was a song that got cut off the album. It was called Innocence. Mm-hmm. And I was just talking about like wanting to go back to being a kid. And this was a game that I learned when I was a kid. Over pandemic, when my brothers came home, I was like, I got obsessed. I wanted to build, like design my own chess set. Mm-hmm. And so me and Aaron, we like, he drew out these shapes. So we got like these cool, there's a bunch of them. I'm working on this.
Wow.
Like.
What's it made of?
This is concrete.
You know,
like some resin.
You know, we chatted briefly on the phone the other day and you mentioned chess and I saw you had not a great player, But I was kind of joking. Like, imagine Daniel actually, like, carves his own chess pieces, and come to find out it's true. It's amazing.
Close, yeah.
Like, we haven't seen a lot of you necessarily the past few years. You've obviously been making music. It's not like you're super active on social, etc. So
I've been struggling with a lot with my desire to know things versus my desire to be liked. I feel like I'll always be struggling with that, but both are very real in my life.
Yeah. So you mentioned around the time you dropped Case Study, you were feeling angry. I mean, you dropped that album at definitely a very chaotic time in your career. There was really a lot going on. I was surprised that you even released the album. How were you feeling at that moment, I guess, about that balance of your desire to know things and to maybe express how you felt versus your desire to be liked?
There's one thing that I know that I'm good at. There's so many things that I'm terrible at, and that is music. So I figured in times of uncertainty, in dark times, in the valley of the shadow of death, so to speak, you gotta lead into what you know you're good at. And so that's what I did.
I mean, looking back on that whole period, you know, all that upheaval on the internet at that moment,
yeah.
How do you feel about it a few years removed? Because I feel like time is also a big concept on this album too. And time is sometimes the one thing that it can heal, it can give more perspective on things, you know? So now that we're a few years removed, what is your perspective on everything that was happening around that period before you dropped the album?
I completely understand where, like, the response. And I was, yeah, in time, after taking time to get over myself and to really honestly look at myself and everything that was happening, like, I was wrong, you know? I was wrong, and, you know, I'm sorry about that. I was like, for a long time, I was like, you can't do anything, you can't say anything without whatever.
Yeah.
You can do and say whatever you want, but it's like, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And that's physics, that's science. That's one of those things that, like, the knowledge of that can literally put my mind at ease, where I'm like, oh, I did deserve, what happened because I deserved it, because I knocked the domino over, you know, and set a course in motion.
At some point, you did apologize for at least the way you expressed how you were feeling, but then it seems like you weren't necessarily happy that you apologized. So it seems like it still took you some time to get to this point. And I'm wondering, are there certain things that happened in the interim that finally made you feel or realize that you said something wrong?
Being in this position, you hear so many things and so many opinions from so many people. So to a certain point, you have to numb yourself to it. And you learn not to trust what people on the internet have to say and what people that you don't know have to say. Seeing that people that I do know, that I care about, them being hurt, then it's like, oh, damn, all right. You know what I mean? I was like, okay, it's your, you know me. It's because it's people, it's seeing that people that know me, because I felt in my, clearly my ego is going out of control. Like, I felt in that moment like I could say what I said and it would be like the context of who I am would be taken into account. But I guess people don't know who I am. You know what I mean? I thought at the time that I was saying something meaning well, you know, but it didn't. It hurt people. And I don't want to hurt anybody. That's not what I do. That's not what I'm interested in doing.
Yeah. I never felt like that was your intention to hurt anybody.
But it did.
Yeah, it did. And to your point, I think we didn't know necessarily all the things that you were going through that led you to that point to say that. And I'm not sure if you had necessarily the whole context either, that also the person you were defending was someone who we feel like had taken a lot from Black culture and not appreciated it, and then disrespected Black women who we always feel underrepresented, and, you know, like, no one is speaking up on our behalf. And so I think there was a lot there. Like, you stepped into really like a minefield, and you were drunk, which I feel like someone with you should have slapped the phone out of your hand. That was,
yeah,
not a good mind state, I think, to be in to address something so serious.
Yeah, it really, when I think about it, it was like, yeah, it was the perfect storm. Honestly, I just mean it's kind of crazy how awful that was. Throughout the process, the last few years, it was so often, it's like, okay, so that was a mistake. So either we stop playing the game or we keep playing the game. You know what I mean? Those are my only options. It's like, people every day you wake up with, they're like, you should kill yourself. It's like, all right, am I gonna kill myself or am I gonna keep going? You know what I mean? It's like.
And the internet, by the way, is brutal.
I think
that people in real life, even though that they were hurt and upset, would probably sooner sit down and have a conversation and try to pick your brain and understand like why you thought that was okay versus someone telling you to kill yourself on the internet, which of course is not something you should ever say to anyone.
But yeah, no, through this process, I just like, I've just thought so much about it, and I've learned so much about myself, about the world, and I just put it all into the music. And that's kind of like I was saying, it's like, what at this point, after having punished myself, after having been punished, it's like, at this point, you gotta just keep making music. And so that's what I did. And you know, we went all over the world, had a lot of great conversations with a lot of different people. And it was, this is a great time in my life.
I'm happy to hear that.
With Case Study, I wanted to set the precedent that I'm going to grow and I'm going to change and I'm not going to be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so much of what I try to do, and there's still so many things that I fear, you know?
Because you're human and that's normal.
Yeah. But it's really, which I think all humans should do, is I would love to one day be more than human, which is obviously, it sounds insane.
Now we're getting sci-fi levels. Okay, Daniel, me too. I would love to be a superhero. I would love the ability to teleport and not ever commute in New York City traffic, but you know.
You know, it would be crazy. It would be amazing. But I just mean like unafraid.
Mm-hmm. Coming off of, so Case Study was a point where you felt pretty angry, you were working through a lot of things, there was a lot of chaos and controversy going on, and now you said you feel like you're in a much happier space. So just in general now, how do you feel about sharing this album with the world, being back out in the physical world, and also just the internet world, and navigating this space a little bit better? As a more mature person, you've evolved over the past years, your perspective has changed on things, you've learned a bit more. Just generally, how are you feeling?
I'm excited. I'm very excited because I feel like I'm starting again. I know what I want to accomplish in this life.
What does that look like?
I want to make music that leads people somewhere, you know, as opposed to music that can pacify them or make them feel good. I want to make music that makes them that makes people want to change their life. You know, truly inspiring music.